Don't Depend on Daddy is an unfiltered safe space, empowering young professionals to build independence in their 20s and beyond, whether it be personal, professional, or financial. Regardless of your age, relationship status, or job title, the most consistent person in your life is you. So join me and let's build our independence together. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name's Michaela. I am your host. And today is a very exciting podcast day because we are officially back on video. I'm going to say officially back on video with a caveat, as I am sure there will be episodes where I do audio only, but I am really going to make an effort starting Q2, as I've mentioned all year long, to get back on video for the podcast. A few reasons here of why I want to get back on video outside of the fact of like I need content is I want to make sure that I'm starting to post on YouTube again. I know, because I've been doing this, I know some people like to like put podcasts up on their TV and listen to them as they go about their days. So I'm going to start creating content where you can do that. And the other big reason is because my Don't Depend on Daddy Instagram has sort of died as of late, just because when I stop feeling good or when I get busy with other stuff, like it falls to the wayside. And so with the video content for the podcast, I think it will just make it easier for me to like consistently post content over there. So if you're not following me on Don't Depend on Daddy on Instagram, you totally should. Although I apologize because I haven't posted on there in a couple of weeks. We're working on it. We're working on it. All that to say, welcome back to the show. I'm excited for today's episode because today is a milestone episode. I'm going to be sharing the lessons that I've learned since being self-employed, because last Monday, April 8th, marked my official 2-year anniversary of leaving my corporate job, which is kind of crazy. I can't believe I've been doing Break Your Budget full-time for 2 years now. It's like actually blowing my mind. Anyways, before we get into it, we're going to go through our usual housekeeping. So as always, you can get $10 off the personal finance dashboard using the code PODCAST1 that never goes away. And if you haven't pre-ordered Own Your Career, here's your reminder to go do that, because next Tuesday, April 23rd, I can't believe April 23rd is like literally next week. That's kind of scary. So yeah, next Tuesday, April 23rd, I'm going to be hosting the first of 3 free webinars, but free only if you've pre-ordered Own Your Career. So the only people in there are going to be people who are, you know, obviously ready to take their careers seriously. And so every day between now, or every month between now and July, so April, May, and June, I'm going to be hosting a webinar where we're going to either be auditing your career and sort of defining your definition of success, putting together a job strategy, vision board almost, we'll call it. That's going to be April's class, which is next Tuesday. Next month in May, we're going to be doing like a resume makeover job application strategy session. And then in June, we're going to do the highly requested How to Start and Scale a 6-Figure Side Hustle Masterclass. These are free if you pre-order Own Your Career. Own Your Career is like $25, I think. So they're less than $10 per class if you pre-order it and join all of the classes. And honestly, you should just pre-order Own Your Career anyways, because if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously care about something that I have to say. I know you're going to love the book. I'm not going to spend tons of time talking about it today, but just know that if you have pre-ordered, please let me know. If you haven't pre-ordered, here is your sign. I really, 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 really appreciate the support. And there's going to be lots of fun stuff going on leading up to the book launch. So if you want to participate, make sure you pre-order. Anyways, those are the only 2 housekeepings we're going to do this week. If you enjoy the show, make sure you leave me a kind review. If you have constructive criticism, you know the rules. Please send me a message, a kind message, either on Instagram or via email sharing your thoughts. But I would appreciate it if you could not post a negative review on my Apple podcast, because that's super annoying and honestly, it's rude. So with that, let's get into the bulk of today's episode. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. The Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week this week is me overcoming being sick as fuck, basically. Last week, I don't know what it was. I'm recording this a day before it goes up, which I apologize. My voice sounds crazy. I've been waiting as long as possible to record this because I feel like my voice still sounds really nasally. I felt a cold coming on all last week, and I was like, I thought maybe it was allergies or something. I was taking medicine. It wasn't really doing anything, unfortunately, for me. And so Saturday, I woke up and I was like, oh no, like I'm sick. And so I'm a huge baby when I'm sick because I live alone. Like there's nobody here to help me. Like it kind of sucked a lot. But I went to the store, I got all my medicine and everything, and I basically just cocooned for Saturday and Sunday. I started to feel a lot better. And so my Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week is being sick and getting over it by myself without any help, because us single girls who live alone, we're doing things on our own. We don't have help for this kind of stuff, which sucks, but it is what it is. So that's changing this year. Like I've said, that will change this year through hell or high water. Hasn't changed yet, but we're only a quarter of the way through the year. I got plenty of time. Okay, now we are going to move into the bulk of today's episode, which is lessons that I've learned from 2 years of being self-employed. So as I mentioned, last Monday, April 8th, marked the official 2 year anniversary of leaving my corporate job. So April 8th, 2022 was my last day of corporate. It's the day that my manager basically told me I was making a huge mistake, whatever. He's a huge loser, to put it lightly. Big fat loser, that guy. So hope he's doing well. I'd have no idea what's going on, but that was the best decision that I ever made, flipping off corporate, sayonara. I've said this before on a handful of other episodes, but like I do not have the personality for working a corporate job. I do genuinely think that people who succeed in corporate have a very specific personality type. Not everybody has it. I don't. And I'm really self-aware about that. And you know what? We're leaning into our strengths. 2024, recognize what you're good at and lean into your strengths. So for me, that was not working a 9-to-5 job, because I don't respect authority and I don't like being told what to do. So obviously somebody breathing down my neck, telling me what to do all the time, I didn't thrive in that environment. And I don't think a lot of people do thrive in that environment, but you know, there are ways to deal if you are in a corporate job and you don't really have other options, or you haven't gotten to a point where you have other options. I explain all of that inside my book on your career. But anyways, it's been 2 years since that point of time, and I truly have learned like literally so much about myself as a person, and also about my career and how I operate in my career. And I think that conclusion I came to of like me not having the right personality and like quality traits or whatever for a corporate job is a lesson or a conclusion I've come to, we'll say, since not working a corporate job. Like I didn't realize that that was my personality while I was in it. I just thought that something was literally wrong with me, but there was nothing wrong with me because I didn't thrive in a corporate environment. I was just not in the right place for who I am as a person, and that's okay. And I don't think that that's talked about enough. A lot of people don't have the personality to succeed in that sort of environment, and like we're basically told that, oh, you're stupid or something's wrong with you, and really it's like, no, like this just isn't my area of thrive, we'll call it. So I've learned a lot. I've come to that conclusion, and I wanted to do a whole episode where I just like reflect on the last 2 years and this experience of working for myself, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I think self-employment too is super glorified and we need to stop doing that because it's still work. So first, before we get into it, I want to highlight, I have 4 key accomplishments that I think are important to just call out or draw attention to, because I really do forget, like in my day to day, just how much has actually happened over the last 2 years. And I don't know, actually, I do know. I know there are other people out there that feel this way, but it pisses me off how the only milestones that we celebrate, specifically the only milestones that we celebrate for women in their 20s, are getting married and having kids. And I think that that's so incredibly rude and unfair to people who prioritize other things in their 20s or who just haven't had great luck in that department. Like there's so many reasons why it doesn't happen for someone when they're 25 or 26 or 27, like in their late 20s. It just doesn't happen until they reach their 30s. And like we need to normalize that and start celebrating people for doing things beyond just like getting married. I think that that's the most annoying thing ever, because no offense, and this is no offense to anyone who's married, but like you didn't accomplish anything. Like it's not, in my opinion, it's not like, I'm not even gonna go there because I'm sure I'm gonna offend someone, but like We need to start celebrating career milestones too, specifically for women who are single with no kids in their 20s, because otherwise we end up celebrating all of our friends and all of our accomplishments end up getting diminished because it doesn't involve a ring on our finger or birthing a child. It's ridiculous to me. It actually infuriates me. I could probably do a whole episode on it. I also feel like maybe I'm extra sensitive to it because I'm single and not married, and like I'm for sure not having a kid in my 20s. That's not on the agenda. It's definitely not happening. So I don't know. I just struggle with that whole thing. And so if nobody's going to celebrate me, I mean, my parents do, but like we're not having a party over the fact that I've published 2 books before I turn 30. Like we should though. I think it's crazy that we don't, but whatever. Because there's no proper celebration for me, I'm going to talk about it on here because I also don't feel like, I mean, my content, there are creators who create very braggy content. I feel like I really don't talk about any sort of financial accomplishments at all because I don't want to, I don't know, draw attention to it or like, I don't know. I just don't. So we're going to talk about a few of them on here today. So if you're listening to the pod, you're getting a sneak peek or a different view into my life. So first is I crossed $1 million in Break Your Budget revenue last year. And that isn't $1 million in one calendar year. That's $1 million since inception, which most people, I think there's like 1% of businesses that start ever cross $1 million in revenue. And so this milestone happened and like, because it's about money, which I guess is the whole point of my page, like talking about money and stuff, but it is kind of weird talking about it with your friends when you're in a different zone, I guess. But I didn't feel like I could tell anybody this because I didn't want it to come off as weird or like, I don't know, I don't want people to think about me differently. I don't think any of my friends like listen to this podcast, but if you do, hello. But yeah, I crossed $1 million in revenue and I told my family and stuff and like that was really fun and they were excited for me, but like I didn't feel like it was recognized as a big accomplishment. So yay, I crossed $1 million in revenue last year, really excited about it and hopefully that continues. You know, I've worked really hard on this business and I've made a lot of personal sacrifices and I've really, really, really pushed myself. And I'm so proud and excited that I was able to do that. So hopefully we'll get to 2 million in the next couple of years. I'm not putting any pressure on myself there because I'm just happy with that revenue. Also remember too, like that's revenue. So I pay taxes on that. I don't take all of that home, but revenue, really exciting. My second accomplishment is not only did I publish one book, but I'm publishing a second book this year, which is crazy. So 2 books before I turn 30. Most people never even write 1 book. I do think after this next book, my book writing era is going to be coming to an end for quite some time because it's a lot of work and honestly, it's a lot of pressure. I feel like I have 2 different publishers and with both publishers, different types of pressure, but like there's pressure on me that my goal with my business is to do the most efficient work and make the most amount of money that I can with the least amount of pressure. I would say ultimately, like I don't mind working 40, 50 hour weeks. I don't. I work about 40 hours, 30 to 40 hours a week, but like I wouldn't mind working more if there was no pressure on me. I think one of the big reasons too why my personality for corporate wasn't right is because I work well under pressure I put on myself, but I don't work well under pressure that other people put on me. I sort of crumble in that environment. And so I have learned with books that there's a lot of external pressure. And even if I take the pressure off of myself and I don't put expectations on the outcome or the sales or units sold or whatever, other people are putting that pressure on me, which is a really challenging thing for me to navigate because like I don't want to disappoint people. You know, there's money involved. There's a lot of work and emotion involved in the whole process. And it's easy to see other people online who have an audience similar to mine who end up on bestseller lists. And like my last book didn't. I hope this next book does, but like I'm not putting that pressure on myself because I don't have any control over that. So the book thing, it's a really big accomplishment. Again, don't want to diminish that. We want to celebrate it, but I'm not doing another one after this because it's a lot of pressure. And my agent currently wants me to do another one. And I just I don't think I can. So that is a big accomplishment for me, and we're going to put the pressure off with the book stuff. And then once this next book comes out, I'm excited to sort of have like truly some uninterrupted time to focus on improving everything that I'm doing. So like continuing with YouTube, hopefully doing some more YouTube videos beyond just like starting to put these podcasts back on there, improving my newsletter, all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like for literally 2.5 years, I've had this crushing weight on the back of my shoulders with this book breathing down my neck, both books. And like, I'm so excited for it to just sort of dissipate a little bit. Third accomplishment here is crossing 1 million total followers on social. So across Instagram and TikTok. Last year, TikTok was a really, really, really disappointing, challenging platform for me. I felt like everything I was doing on there just was not working. It was so incredibly frustrating. It made me so upset because, I don't know, it was the kind of thing where I'm like, I'm putting this time into it and my videos are getting like 500 views, which on a platform where I had 700,000-800,000 followers, like that was so disheartening. It just felt like a waste of time. This year though, I sort of changed up my strategy a little bit and I'm noticing that things are going much better. But on the flip side, you know, I struggled with TikTok last year. I did really great on Instagram last year. My audience grew a lot. I was able to engage with people in so many different ways. I got onto ManyChat, which has helped a lot with sales on my templates and just like better conversions on things, free guides in general. So I did cross 1 million total followers between TikTok and Instagram. I think I have like 850 on TikTok or 840 on TikTok and 330 or 340 on Instagram. So we're at like that 1.1 range, which is amazing, especially for just brand visibility, obviously, and then working with different brands and stuff because that's a big source of revenue for me. So excited about that. And my engagement on both has gone up, which again was something I struggled with last year. And this year it seems to be, I don't know, everything just seems to be clicking a little bit more. I have lately been in a little bit of a creative rut, I think because my book pre-sale started and so I'm focused on that. And like, I do find when I'm really focused on pushing one thing, it sort of has like the opposite effect on everything where everything sort of dips. So I'm trying to take the pressure off there and just let things be and let things play out. But my creativity is coming back next week or 2 weeks from now. Actually, I'm going to be going to Malibu for the week with my friend Emily and my friend Ellen, which I'm so excited about. It'll be a really nice creative break. Emily also has a business. And so she and I love to talk about business and creativity and that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to just have some like uninterrupted girl time to talk about that kind of stuff. And then my last big accomplishment that's happened over the last 2 years is a personal accomplishment, but is a result of all of the hard work that's gone into building Break Your Budget, and that is moving into my own apartment. So about 1 year and 1 month ago, I moved into my apartment, which I'm currently in recording this. And this is my first apartment where I'm living by myself. And that was a huge goal of mine. It's something that I'd wanted to do all throughout my 20s. And I never really like let myself, A, because at first I couldn't afford it. And then, you know, the pandemic happened. And so I moved home. And then I moved to LA and I didn't really want to live alone. I also wasn't comfortable living alone. Like I wanted to have a roommate and my roommate actually worked out beautifully. So like I had a really positive living experience with a roommate, but for my business, I was ready to move into my own space and just have my own space to exist in as an adult in her late 20s. And so I do feel like moving into my own apartment has been its own journey and a really big accomplishment for me. I feel very grateful that I can afford to live here and that I can have my own space and like have this little slice of LA that's just mine that I feel really comfortable in. That's the big thing too, is like, I feel really safe here. I feel really comfortable. I feel like I have just enough space and it's a beautiful apartment. I do think my apartment management is like really annoying, but aren't they all, right? Like I'll pick and choose my battles. So those are my big 4 accomplishments over the last 2 years that are at least like business related. And now let's get into some of the lessons that I've learned since being self-employed, because I think that self-employment is glorified and there are so many benefits of working for yourself. It is an experience I truly hope everybody who wants to do this, I truly hope they get the opportunity to work for themselves. I do think freelance and contract work is the future of work, but I don't think corporate jobs are like going anywhere, obviously, but it has been the best thing that's ever happened to me, although not without its own trials and tribulations. So with that, let's talk about it. Okay, lesson number one here is that no job is ever going to make you 100% happy. I always thought that my next job was going to be the job where I would finally be happy. And I spent basically like the first 2 years of my career thinking that, oh my gosh, once I get out, my next job, all of my problems will be solved. And then I got into that next job and I realized that, oh my gosh, now I have even more problems because I hate this job even more than I hated my first job. And so I thought, okay, the next job will be it. And then I get into the next job and I realize, okay, well, all of the same problems I had in the last job exist in this job, just in a different font. So what I learned from this whole process is that no job is going to make me 100% happy because, surprise, work doesn't make me happy. I do not identify with career success being the sole source of my happiness. What I have found is that there are aspects of different jobs that enable me to be happy. So in my first job, I really liked that it was a fairly low pressure job and like I wasn't working crazy hours. At the time, I didn't realize that because I had the like grass is always greener mentality of this place sucks, the next job will be better. My second job, I got into it and I was learning a lot more. There was definitely external pressure on me. This is what I learned, where I'm like, maybe I don't thrive in these kinds of high pressure environments. I was learning a lot, but like I literally hated everything I was doing. Like I would wake up in the morning knowing all of the things that I had to do that day at work and would have like an existential dread walking to the office, knowing like I'm gonna get probably some attitude today. I'm gonna hear from a client I don't wanna hear from. Like it was just not a positive environment for me. And I really, really didn't enjoy it. And then in my third job, I was working from home because this was during the pandemic. And like I definitely enjoyed it more. But obviously, once you get into a job, like things change. After 3 months, it's a lot easier to like people need you for more things and like you're busier and there's a different sort of pressure. And it was just, I don't know, it was a really hard thing. And then now, you know, I've gotten into working for myself. And while I'm significantly happier most of the time, I still deal with like some of the corporate bullshit, obviously, because if I'm working with brands and I'm working with agencies, like those are corporate companies, right? So even though I'm a contractor or I'm a freelancer in regard to working with them, like I'm still dealing with the red tape. I'm still dealing with the legal departments. I'm still dealing with the corporate policies. I'm still dealing with all that kind of stuff, even though I'm not in it. It's obviously in a much smaller dose, but like a big degree of what I do when I'm working with brands, like that's a client relationship. Like I'm their client, they're my client technically. So if we have a contract and there's money involved and they want me to make a change, even if it's annoying, I have to do it. So I don't know. I wouldn't say that like work is, or I wouldn't say that a job is supposed to be the source of your happiness. And it never was. But this is something that I didn't realize early on in my career. And I always thought the next thing would be it. My next job will make me happy. When I can finally work for myself, I'll be happy. And while those things have proven to be true in certain ways, there are obviously other aspects of my life that become or need to be a source of happiness. That's my relationship with myself, the hobbies that I'm pursuing, the life that I'm building outside of just my job. I do think that a huge reason a lot of people feel really burnt out or tired with their lives is because they've spent so much of their life, especially in your 20s and early in your 20s, when you're kind of told like, do your time now, which I agree. If you're gonna do your time in your early to mid 20s. But like we spend so much time focusing and centering our lives around our jobs. We move to the city that our job is in. We spend our mornings and our evenings getting ready for our job, unwinding from our job, and preparing for our jobs the next day. A huge source of social circles in your 20s is from your job. And then, you know, in the few hours you have after work where maybe you don't have to think about your job, you're probably just going to the gym, getting a workout in, maybe meeting a friend for dinner or something. You're not really left with a lot of time to pursue building a life unless you create that time. How do you create that time? You implement boundaries at work, you plan things in advance, and you look at your schedule and you say, hey, I want to do these things. Where in my week can I fit them in? And you do it, even if it's hard, even if it takes a lot of effort, even if you're tired. That's how you build a life outside of the office. And that's how you decenter your job from being your whole identity and being that thing that like makes or breaks your happiness. I wish that if I could go back to my early 20s, I would have like told myself, your job is important. It's not the most important. Like, focus on building relationships, focus on making friends, focus on dating, focus on building hobbies and just like getting yourself out there and becoming a well-rounded person. Because there are so many people who reach 27, 28, 29, they've spent their whole career or their whole 20s focused on their career. And they're like, okay, well, I've reached this point in my career where now maybe I have a little bit more free time. I have a little bit of money. And like, what the hell am I supposed to do? So it you don't just wake up one day and like change your perspective on anything. It does obviously take time. But like, if I've learned anything about from self-employment specifically, because everybody thinks self-employment is like the best thing ever. And like I've said, it's amazing, but it's not like, I feel like it's not what people say it is. It's a pretty standard. I feel like I just work a corporate job, just I'm my boss. But if I've learned anything, it's that no job is ever going to make you 100% happy, and you have to lose the grass is always greener mentality, because your next job isn't going to make everything better magically. You have to get out there, build a life, and focus on finding a job that you like enough so you can spend your time outside of work creating a life for yourself. That's my thoughts on there. Okay, second lesson is your routines and your habits dictate your success. And I don't mean that like having the perfect morning routine or having the perfect evening routine is going to make or break your career. What I mean is your routines are your center, okay? They are the things that ground you throughout the week. So having a morning routine where you're taking care of yourself, where you can rely on yourself to like do things, so cleaning up your apartment, maybe getting a workout in, taking care of your body, taking a shower, doing your skincare routine, like focusing on your mental health. If you have a morning routine that centers you, not only will you show up better throughout the day at your job, but if you're going through a tumultuous period in your career, it's a lot easier to get burnt out when you lose your sense of stability and your sense of routine. And as an adult, when you're not in college or high school and your whole routine in life isn't laid out for you, you have to create that stability yourself. How do you create that stability? You have really, really strong routines and you hold yourself accountable to those routines. So a morning routine is essential. An evening routine too is essential, where you're unplugging from work. You're allowing yourself to sort of come back to earth a little bit after a long day of working. So that could look like a lot of different things, right? That could be turning off your computer and going for a walk or going to a workout class or meeting a friend or doing something with your partner or cooking a meal or watching a show, doing something where you are fully removed from your job so your brain can rest and you can actually think about, again, your life and not just your career. Without routines, challenging career periods will become even harder to navigate. So if you find that you're in a position where your career is feeling a little bit unstable, a little bit tumultuous, it's your responsibility to bring that stability into your life, to create that stability for yourself. Remember, you own your career, right? So if you feel like there are aspects of your career that are out of control, the first step is finding that control in your life, so that you can approach those career decisions or those career problems with poise and with clarity and with confidence, so you can ultimately make the right career decision for you, whether that means maybe you need to leave a job or you're having an issue with your manager or you need to have a hard conversation or whatever. It's going to be different all the time. You'll go through seasons where there will be periods of your career that are super, super challenging and hard to navigate, and then there will be periods where everything seems to be flowing really easily. What is your like golden guiding light through all of those things? Your routines. So if you don't have a strong morning routine, if you don't have a strong evening routine, I highly recommend really spending some time curating a routine that allows you to focus and like center yourself, take care of yourself, do something for yourself. So again, that doesn't have to be exercise if you don't want it to be. That could be a form of self-care, making your coffee, writing in a journal. I don't know. Everybody's routines look a little bit different, but something that you can rely on and look forward to every single day. So that is the second lesson. So far we're at no job is going to make you 100% happy, and your routines and habits dictate your success. The third one here, and this is a one that I feel like a lot of people, maybe you don't know, there is limitless opportunity that exists, but it will not magically appear. And this is something that I've learned specifically from being online, because I used to think in my corporate job, my whole awareness was, I'm in this one job, my next job, I'll get a 10% raise. If I go to a new company, I'll probably get a 20% raise. And that was sort of how I looked at increasing my income and furthering my life. And I'll be honest, when I was having conversations about it with my dad, I was stressed. And I was always like, how the hell do people afford life? How do people figure this out? How does anybody buy a house or have a wedding or have a kid? Like, where is the money coming from? And the answer was always like, oh, you'll figure it out. And like, oh, well, if there's another person in the picture, like you'll have two incomes, whatever. And I'm still doing the math in my head, like, okay, like in a couple of years, I'll probably be making like 120, 130 maybe. And like, if I have a partner who's making the same amount, like that puts us in the 250 range, like that's enough. Obviously that's plenty, but that's not that in my mind for what I want for my life, that's not enough. That's not enough for me to do all the things that I want to do. And I have a lot of things I want to do, a lot of visions for the way my life is going to turn out. Very clear visions, which I can do a whole episode on if you want, let me know. But essentially, I was like, this isn't going to work. And so through Break Your Budget and through experiencing, you know, going viral, having a product that does really well, the Personal Finance Dashboard, the Own Your Career template, working with brands and seeing, you know, how much brands pay creators. Granted, I've never gotten like a crazy brand deal. I've gotten a few that were pretty high, but I've never gotten anything like outrageous, which we're manifesting if any brand wants to pay me. But my point is, through Break Your Budget, I have realized that there is literally so much money that exists in a freelance non-corporate setting if you're willing to go looking for it, which is contrary to what we're taught, right? Like, we're told, oh, if you're a freelancer, like you have no stability in your life, having a business isn't the same as working a corporate job. Like, I didn't realize when I was working a corporate job how much money you could make outside of a corporate job. Like, I really thought that, oh, climbing the ladder, getting to that C-suite is going to be my ticket out. And then, you know, I have to do that for a few years and then I can retire and make millions of dollars. And I've learned that that's just like really not... that's not the path for me, which I've talked about. We're not going to go down there anymore. But I've learned that there's a lot of opportunity if you're willing to go looking for it. The key is you have to go looking for it. And a lot of people, I think, in this culture we're in now, look down on influencers, or they don't want to have a side hustle, or they don't want to make content because they don't want their friends to see it or whatever. And I so totally get that. And I understand the narrative against influencers specifically, because I think a lot of them, like, they make a lot of money without doing a lot. There's work that goes into being an influencer, but it's just, it's very different. But if you are someone who wants to like break the corporate blueprint and build your own ladder, might I say, then you need to think about how you can start like a service-based or a product-based business that either supports the creator economy or solves some sort of problem. I don't have the answers for you on that, but I will put the seed in there that if you are someone who really wants to build a life, you know you're meant for more than a corporate job, which I don't say a corporate job is a great job, okay? Like I've said before, it wasn't for me, but there is nothing wrong with working a corporate job. I just know that there's a subset of people who don't want to do that, and there aren't a lot of clear answers on what to do in that scenario, and I wish that there was for me. And so my goal is to hopefully be that voice of reason or that inspiration for those of you who feel that way. If you are someone who wants to break that blueprint, you have to think about how you can solve a problem for someone and how you can do so through a product, a service, or ideally a combination of the two. The other thing is, you cannot be afraid to be seen, Okay, this is a big thing that I see of people who are hesitant to make content, or they don't want to be an influencer. They think that the only way to build a business is to be an influencer. It's not. You don't have to be an influencer to have a business, but you cannot be afraid to be seen by people, because being seen is how you market. It's how you advertise. You can't have a business if you don't have any marketing, if nobody knows you exist, and you can't market in private. That's not really how that works. So if you're afraid to be seen, but you want to have a business, I would really recommend first figuring out and unpacking why you have that fear so that you can work through it. And you work through it by doing. So if you have a fear of being seen on social, I recommend that you just go post something a little outside of your comfort zone and realize that like nobody actually cares, and it'll help you start work through it. Again, I can do a whole episode on this, but my big thing here is like the opportunity is there. If you're in a corporate job, it can be really hard to see it. It's really hard to see beyond the confines of your own reality, right? And people talk about it and you see it online, but like you think it's a scam. I thought it was a scam too. Let me tell you through experience, because I used to work a corporate job. There's nothing special about me. I don't have any interesting personality traits or anything. I don't come from a super special family or anything. Like there's nothing different about me compared to you. I did it. I figured it out. I cracked the code, we'll say. Like, there's no code to crack. I just put in the work. The opportunity is there for anybody to take, but you have to go find it. You have to put yourself out there. You cannot be afraid. And it takes time. And that's the other thing, too, is like that I would add on to this. Like, there is limitless opportunity that exists. It will not magically appear, and it will not come overnight. I've been doing this since 2019. Okay, we're coming up on 5 years this summer of Break Your Budget. If I had given up 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would not be here, okay? If I had given up after 3 months of trying and only getting 100 followers on Instagram, I would not be here. You have to push through. And I noticed like everybody who I've done mentorship with or anything, like after a few months, they give up. And it's like, this is the exact point in time where you have to keep pushing through. Like the first 3 months are literally your trial period. If you just learning about posting things online, you're just learning about how everything works. Once you learn how things work, you have to keep doing it, even if you're not seeing progress, because doing it is how you recognize and look at patterns and you pivot and you change. And I don't know, it's a whole snowball effect. So I do talk about this a lot in the last two chapters of Own Your Career. So we'll get there. I will do more podcasts about this too, as we get closer to the publication date. But it's in the book, and a whole prescriptive plan for how to build a business is in there. Okay, and moving on to the last one here. The fourth lesson that I've learned, and this one is a hard one. People will judge you until you're successful. And it's kind of a hard lesson to learn, and it sucks. And it's especially true that people who will pass the most judgment on you are generally the ones who are closest to you, which is shocking. I find it so fascinating because when I first started doing Break Your Budget, I was living in Boston, and I found that like I was afraid of what my friends would think about what I was doing there. And then when I moved to LA and I had seen a little bit more progress and I had, you know, a little bit more of a following and some legs to stand on with my business, I found that the new friends that I made out here were like not judgmental at all, and they were actually very supportive. And so I don't know if that's like a cultural thing between LA and Boston or what, but the people that are closest to you will judge you. You learn who your friends are when you start a business. And anyone who has put themselves out there, anyone who's been on social media, like, you know, anyone who's tried to do anything different, whether that be like get a different kind of job or start a new hobby or go get a yoga teacher certification or whatever the heck you're doing with your life, has experienced being judged. This sort of ties on to the one I mentioned earlier about being afraid of being seen. You cannot be afraid to be seen. You also cannot be afraid to be judged. People are going to judge you no matter what. So you can either let someone who's a loser judging you from behind their phone stop you from doing something, or you can tell them to screw, go after what you want, and end up being really successful. Like, I literally cannot emphasize enough, if there is somebody in your circle or somebody just in general, because if you're on the internet, you get judged by everyone, who is judging you for trying, they're a loser. Huge, 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 huge loser. You cannot let a loser tell you what to do. You cannot let a loser dictate your success, and you cannot let a loser get in your path of doing what you want. So Anyone who passes judgment on you for going after what you want is a loser. You have to label them as that in your brain and you have to push through it. If I had let the people who were judging me, or like a fear of someone from high school or college seeing me post online, stop me, I would not be in the position I'm in today. And now most of those people who pass judgment or who I know are sending videos of me in their group texts or whatever are following me on Instagram and buying my products. So I'll leave it at that. Anyways, we are going to wrap up this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. As a quick summary, the four key lessons that I learned were: no job is going to make you 100% happy. Your routines and habits dictate your success. There is limitless opportunity that exists, but it will not magically appear, and people will judge you until you're successful. I'll leave it with this. Break your budget and being self-employed is the best thing that has ever happened to me ever. I literally look back on my 20s and the pivot in my life from being miserable and depressed to being much happier and secure in myself came from when I started Break Your Budget. I am completely indebted to the fact that like this passion project of mine, like side hustle, whatever we want to call it, that's now become my full-time job, has completely changed my life. It's completely changed my self-image. It's completely changed my confidence. And yeah, I mean, to all of you who are still listening at this point, like I cannot express how thankful I am that you are here on this journey with me, that you listen to my podcast, that you buy my books or you buy the PFD or whatever. Again, it's changed my life and I'm so grateful for you. And yeah, that's really all there is to it. So with that, I will wrap this up and I will catch you in the next one.